Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1.
Medications require eligibility and prescription. Patients on 15 milligrams of tirzepatide had an average of 21% weight loss in a 72-week clinical trial when paired with diet and exercise. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month MedPlus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, Banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what is the whole network galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds, for whatever you love. Infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands for the super athletic stuff, like running gear for cruising up the trail.
Woo!
And the super athlete-ish stuff, like fishing gear for chilling by the creek. Nice cast. Fitness apparel to push for higher reps. You got this. And golf balls priced so you can afford to lose one. Or a few. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Welcome to the Hunt of Ore podcast, powered by Sportsman's Empire, where we celebrate the hunting and fishing lifestyle through the utilization and consumption of our wild game. No egos.
Fork in hand, beer in the other.
No status.
A piece of red meat on a hot grill and turn it into a burnt offering.
Just catch it, cut it, cook it.
Well, hey, folks. Beautiful afternoon here in Michigan. I tell you what, temperatures are climbing. I'm excited about getting out of the sub-zero. I'm very excited about all the snow and ice that has accumulated because we've been consistently getting out on the ice for ice fishing. Oh, it's been so nice. It's been so fun. In fact, we went out, I think it was maybe a week and a half ago. We go out to one of our local lakes, and it was on like the first day that it got to 25. Like it was already like, it was in the forecast. It was going to be above zero. That was essentially what it was. It was going to be above zero. And The lake looked like a party. People were everywhere. Shanties were up. People were doing stuff in the in and out of the shanties. There were kids getting pulled around on sleds. And this was on the one of the neighboring lakes. So I went to the backside to try and see if I couldn't find a little less people. There was another boat launch over there. And yes, there were less people, but it was still a pretty full lake. And it made for some really good time because, A, I got to try out my new skill of scouting fish. And that could probably be another episode on its own. That's been a YouTube dive that I've been doing. Trying to use a topographical map of the bottom of the lake, essentially. And it's worked out good. My first one that I really scouted out, we got us on some fish. Felt awesome about that. Just felt accomplished. And we were able to make that happen. But as we passed a bunch of people going to, the big joke was, hey, it's finally warm enough to go ice fishing. And that was each group that I interacted with. That's exactly our sentiment. But yeah, I did. That was just an afternoon. That was just a couple hours that we went out. We caught what affectionately my boys and I have two categories. We got, I guess we have a bunch of categories. We have dinks. Dinks are the ones that we throw back. And keepers are what we keep. And it really depends on kind of how we're going, what size do we want to fillet. And keepers, letting the dinks go, the boys have been getting used to be, we caught everything and we kept everything. And that made for some really good knife skill work. It really made some good knife skill practice getting some of those small fish. And we've learned to slow that down. We've learned to say, okay, you know what? Let's let these go. Let's let these grow. Let's let these, we'll come back for them later. So anyway, then we get into the point where we're now keeping our keepers. And then we've got our next category, which is slabs. And we refer to that for our big crappies, our big bluegills. They get a couple different names, slabs, hogs, brutes. We give them all sorts of names. But anyway, that's essentially, we've got dinks, keeps, and slabs. So that's how that goes, at least in our fishing vocabulary. That's how we sort things out. But anyway, we didn't catch any keepers or slabs, a lot of dinks. Anyway, catching dinks is still fun. So we left those and we were able to then go back and try again the next time. I went out, I had a Monday where I was able to get out after some appointments and do some more fishing and scouting in a different way. That one, my e-scouting was not as productive, but I did learn a little bit about when I see these videos, when I see these YouTube videos, or when I see these forums, there's people talking about basin crappie and having them circle a basin, and you got to just time it out where they're at. I'm running a flasher. I'm running a Garmin Striker, and it's been a great entry-level tool. I love that it does both. So getting the fishing boat this past year and getting the Garmin, knowing that you can get the different transponder to then do the flasher so I can do the ice and I can do the boat with the same unit, that just seemed very economical to me. It seemed very cost-effective. I was willing to spend the money to get it because it does so much. Garmin's a name that I've used before as a GPS, and so I trust that brand, and I've been super happy with this unit. It does everything that I want it to do. But that unit was very nice. Got the ice, or went into the shallow area, and again, I was finding dinks. I could find where there were tiny fish, but I couldn't find the bigger fish in that area that were hiding in the weed beds. They must have moved on, wrong time, temp, overfished the day before. We don't know. Anyway, too much variable. But what I then did is, in the afternoon, I moved to deeper water. And I got out to like 25 to 27 feet on this lake that I'm trying to figure out. Again, another neighboring lake. And I get down and I find one fish on the bottom. As soon as I drill the hole, put the transducer in, shoots the sonar down, I mark a fish. And I'm like, oh, yeah. So I get my lure with a grub on it. And I start sending it down. And as I'm sending it down to get to that fish, I see above that, right around the teens, I have five fish flash on. I see five flashes start, they start just a light blue line, and then it gets thicker, gets to yellow, and pretty soon it's red. It's like it's underneath me. And there's these five marks that are coming in, and I'm like, oh buddy, I get my line just above one of the fish, you know, give it a little bop, little jig, and sure enough, it turns and comes up. That fish hits it, and I start reeling up. Well, as I'm reeling up, I look at the flasher, and I could see that those fish were now starting to move on. They're starting to disappear out the other side. But as they're doing that, five more are coming on. I have hit the school of fish, and I pull it up, and it's a nice size keeper crappie. Nothing to write home about, but at the same time, like, hey, I just saw the school of crappie come through. So I'm pulling that one off. And of course I'm trying to put my line down, and all of a sudden the line has frozen onto one of the eyelets. So I'm messing with that. And then I have a tangle, and I'm trying to get my line down there as quick as I can. Not the most efficient that I've ever been, but I finally get that back down there as that it was the second group had moved on. And now it was like that third group of five fish come in. And I got in front of the deepest one, boom, hits it, pulls hard on this one. And I pull it up and I get a nice 11 and a half inch crappie. Like this is, I guess one more category is a full sandwich fish. That's what this one was. He makes a full sandwich himself. Those two fillets, when I take those off, once I bread those up, fry them, dude, stack them on two pieces of bread, and that is a full sandwich. It will do it. So I pulled him up, and by the time that I got him up off and I sunk down the last of the group was leaving. But to mark a school of crappie on this lake, to essentially put some pieces together, fishing has not been in my wheelhouse. I fished as a little kid. I mean, I am a worm dunker. I put it down and that's about the extent that I go. And so now trying to take a different approach, trying to strategize, trying to make our time out here effective and get us on fish. Like I'm starting to move some pieces in that right direction. And then to experience like a school coming through and just being there, right place, right time, and snag two fish out of that group. Now, if I had more time or I had the wherewithal, because then I was like, oh, well, maybe they'll come through again. It's a big basin. It's going to take those fish a long time to come back around. I don't know which actual way that they came. I act like they came from the right, but at the same time, the flasher doesn't show right or left. It just shows depth of where they're at and shows proximity. So I don't have all the nitty-gritty that like a live scope would have or any of these side sonar pieces would show. We're at an entry level and we're just excited that we figured something out. So that's really kind of what it's been about. And it's been super exciting. Boys like it. It really does keep the children occupied. Because then, yeah, our third big venture, we go out to a different neighboring lake. This one's a little more private. This one surrounded by a bunch of homes, and the homeowners kind of keep a really tight lip on this island, or an island, on this lake. But they do invite their friends out to enjoy it with them. So that was this time. So we got out there and we got some really nice size bluegill. The owner of the house that we were at bang up guy. Mike, he does a great job for our wrestling club, and his boys wrestle with my boys. So yeah, it was a break. Bring out your kids. Let's have a great time. So we had an awesome afternoon out there, and you could just tell he'd been out there. He knew what he was looking for. He walks to this area and he's like, well, we're over the weed bed. He doesn't need a GPS. He doesn't need a mark. It's right here. And he gets to work. We start drilling holes, and shoot, within a few minutes, he was already bringing up really nice size keepers. We're into slab. If we were going to go, you know, that we're above keeper, we're into slabs, slab gills on these. So we were pulling those up, having just a grand old time. We donated the few that me and the boys were able to pick up toward what we're calling the summertime fish fry. We've been invited out to that. So that's how our ice fishing has gone thus far. Making strides with our new equipment and just being a little bit more knowledgeable and a little more effective. And that's been a ton of fun. Speaking of being more effective, I did upgrade to a drill unit on my auger. So I took my hand auger, removed the top. I got a cheap Amazon clamp, essentially, or chuck for a drill. And I got a Milwaukee drill for Christmas. And I was hoping that this would be a little more efficient than hand drilling. I hooked this unit up, got it out there, expected it to take a little bit longer than what it did. Because when I pulled the trigger on that thing, luckily I was holding on with two hands. About 8 seconds is what it took me to make that hole. I mean, they're really sharp blades anyways. We haven't put a lot of use and abuse on them. But that thing plunged right through the ice, popped right on through, and I'm like, this is the ticket. Used to take me like a good minute to get down there, and now, shoot, 8 seconds and I got a hole. So that's been also a nice upgrade. Not super heavy, pretty light unit. For what we do with it, it is perfect, because that drill is going to get taken off and the drill is going to be used as a drill. But now to have it also help us do our local lake hopping, it does an amazing job. Which also brings me to like what I'm getting ready for, what we're anticipating happening later. It hasn't actually happened yet. At the time of you hearing this, we will still be prepping for this trip. We're going to be going up to the UP, heading up to see the Lipples over in Cedarville. If you haven't, head up there to, oh my goodness, I'm blanking on his resort in Cedarville. Island View. I had a quick look it up. Island View Resort up there in Cedarville. Jeff is up there. I got to know Jeff years ago through Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. Very cool family. He and his wife run the resort up there. I think they're local to the east side. But yeah, they jump up and do a lot of their life up there in Cedarville. So getting a chance to go up and see him again and his brother, Greg, who runs the fishing charter. Very excited to see the Lipple brothers this next weekend. So yeah, we're staying right there essentially on shore. Our anticipation is to walk out around the Lacheneau Islands and do some fishing, do some walkout fishing and see if we can't be successful. Very excited. This will be my first trip to the UP to do any ice fishing. And especially if it works out where we can just like go right off the beach, right there out the front of the resort. Like, what a great way to get the kids involved next year. I'm thinking the boys are going to have to come up for this trip. But yeah, this is our... We didn't do the Total Archery Challenge this past year with my group of guys and our fish camp or our deer camp. It just it hasn't developed. We try our best to get together, but it just hasn't worked out. So here we are now. We found an event. We got three of us going up. Really going to scout it out, see if we like it or not, and then we'll be able to then relay that to the next group to see if this we want to turn deer camp into fish camp. That's really kind of what this mission is about. We will be going with Greg out one time for lake trout. Luckily, he's going to hook us up with equipment because I don't think our little panfish jigs, our little panfish setups are going to do a whole lot to some of those bigger fish that are out there. But yeah, we're going to try our hand at doing some of that. So that's the goal of it. What are my expectations going in? We're going to get cold, we're going to get wet, and we're going to have a riot. I think that's kind of what we're at. We're bringing up more than what we should. I believe we've got a truck and we have a trailer going up. I believe there is some sort of ATV that we're going to take out. So we're going to try the walk out first, but if it's one of those, like, you got to go a mile or you got to go a long ways out, well, we'll have something else to do that. It is a little nerve-wracking because, again, first time out here, we're at least be next to a fishing guide. We can at least add questions to a fishing guide. But, yeah, this will be our first time on serious water, serious ice. But that's the exciting part of this year. So that's kind of, in a nutshell, what we've got going on for ice fishing. Now I'm going to bring up something a little more personal, but I feel it applies. And I say personal in the fact, like, it's about me and a little journey that I've been on. And it does include wild game. So wild game's been a huge part of my adult life. It has become a big source of protein for me, for my family. We rely on whitetail an awful lot. The way prices have been, and I'm not been shy about that. For us to be able to put whitetail in the freezer, and to put game that we shoot and catch. A is enjoyment, but then double up down on the protein side of it has been really nice. What really kind of has been lacking in my life has been control. Portion control, when am I hungry, when am I not hungry? Food's been a big deal to me, and it's still something that I'm very, very passionate about. And it's still something that I want to enjoy. I had a really big epiphany. It was early part of November. We went to a wedding, and wonderful wedding, had an awesome time. Enjoyed time with the family. Did some really fun activities all around. Then the wedding photos got sent to each of us. So like the cousin who then gets married sends the photos out. Oh, look at the photographer captured your family doing this and your family doing that. And there was a couple photos in there that really kind of took me back. Now, we were all smiling. We were all having a good time. But I looked at my own physique in a very unimpressed. I guess that's the best way. Or even disappointed. I saw a version of myself. I saw a vision of myself that I was not thrilled with. And after some self-examination, after some thinking about it, I realized like I was letting stress be my indicator. And the way that I was dealing with stress was eating. And I'm 40 years old now. I'm going on 41 here in May. My metabolism has slowed down. My activity level, I'd say I'm still close, but I'm also too, like, if I can sit down now, like I enjoy a sit. And I may not be as active as what I used to be. And just seeing a lot of these signs of, dang, Nick, you're getting heavy. And you're not doing anything about it. And it was a really hard moment that I had with myself. Here I am, my job is a physical education teacher. I mean, I can move, I can do what the kids are doing. I can teach the sport, I can teach what's going on. And, you know, I'm a wrestling coach, but then at the same time, I was unimpressed with the belly. I was unimpressed with the extra weight that looked like it was on my face. Whatever definition that I used to have, it was gone. Man, it was a hard look. Not a bad picture. I mean, I'm smiling, I'm having a good time. I don't know. I'm sure all of us have had that vision. Anyway, from that, I had that hard decision to make. And I decided to do something about it. Another friend of mine had been getting into intermittent fasting. And to boil that down, here's my, I guess, explanation of it, is I'm giving myself a window to eat because I need to give myself a large window to not eat. And while it really does come down to simple calories in, calories burned, that equation is a thing. But then at the same time, learning a little bit about this intermittent fasting, listening to a couple of YouTube videos and podcasts about what is happening really did make a lot of sense. One thing that really did stick with me was like my ankles were really hurting. My knees were hurting. Joints were stiff. Like I felt 40. I felt 40. And doing all that, I learned through these videos, I learned through these that giving your body a chance to wipe the slate clean. Particularly, they talked about visceral fat, and that's being fat that's in and around your organs as being the primary concern. Fat on the outside, subcutaneous fat. It's more benign. Sure, you got to get rid of it. But if we're going to look at which one's going to kill you first, it's going to be that visceral fat. Second, your pancreas creating so much insulin because glucose is ever present in your body starts to not work as well. We condition our body to become resistant to our own insulin. And from that, it created a whole sort of basically trickle-down effect to where we were going to then, you're going to get ill from this. Your pancreas is going to eventually shut down. You're going to constantly have glucose in your system, leads to diabetes, yada, yada, yada. All this stuff. And one of those things that I was learning is that through the process of fasting, you eat in a window. And in that window, your body will metabolize what you are eating. Give yourself an 8-hour window to eat. And in that 24-hour period of being one day, give yourself 16 hours of fasting. You'll find several different methods. And even some guys will go as far as a 24-hour cleanse or a 24-hour fast or a 48-hour fast. I chose the 16-8, mainly because it seemed to fit my lifestyle the most, that what I'm doing right now. That I would begin my window at noon and I would end my feeding window at 8 p.m. And then from 8 p.m. all the way around through sleeping, waking up, missing breakfast, which that was already a hurdle that I was going to be like, wait a minute, I'm missing breakfast. One of what I used to call the most important meal of the day. That was something I still hold on to. Like breakfast foods are just so nice. So there we have it. 16-8 is my 16 hours of fasting, 8 hours of eating. Set this up. Not going to lie. The first week was hard. 16 hours. Waking up and getting to noon was agony. It was tough. But after I got through that week, things started to get easier. Things started to become a little more routine. And it could be placebo. But at the same time, it's been too real to me to be placebo. Might it be different for you? Might it be different for somebody else? Yes. But this 16-8 feeding regimen after that first week, can I tell you, the inflammation of my body completely went down. The inflammation in my knees, my ankles, and my joints, gone. I still hurt and ache like any 40-year-old. But then as I get moving, as I stretch, it goes away. And I don't have this nagging feeling that I used to. With this 16-8 style of eating, I have found that and again, I don't have a cuff on. So again, placebo. I don't have any raw evidence to show. But I don't have that pulse in my temple. If I'm stressed out, I don't feel my heartbeat in other parts of my body. Like I think my blood pressure has come down. With this 16-8, I immediately felt good. And it allowed me to focus on like, hey, you are hungry right now. You do have these hunger pains. But they're not, like, you're not starving. You can handle this. And I had a whole new approach as I went through November and into even Thanksgiving. Partially when I did this is I saw those and then I went into the Thanksgiving holiday, working at the turkey farm, getting myself through a stressful period of time. I'm like, hey, jump in and do it, because if you wait to go after, it ain't gonna, you know, you're just gonna keep pushing it back. Do it now when times are tough. And then with easy times, it's gonna be easier. So if you can get through this, you can get through it at any point. But jumping in with that and knowing that I was going to stay consistent, immediately within the first week, I was feeling those uplifting effects. My mood changed. My outlook changed. How I felt changed. all based upon eating not like an idiot, not eating every 3 hours, not gorging myself because it's there, and being okay with walking away from a meal or walking away from, a snack or something. Do I need it? No. Then I did. Now I don't. And I was tipping the scale. The biggest I saw, I was triple two, 222. That was the biggest that I have been. And, that was a number I was like, wow, I never thought I was going to get to this number. So that was the biggest. So I had come down a little bit off of that number anyway. But then I kind of started this whole idea right around that like 219 area. And this was right like around Thanksgiving. So here we are, post-holiday, post-January, into February now. And, other than wrestling practice, which it's for youth, I'm still working hard. I'm still putting on a good sweat. But honestly, without doing a full week's worth of exercise, needing to definitely not just do it for the kids during the school day, but now I actually get out and do my own, get back into the rucking, get back into getting outside, moving some weight, cutting some wood, getting my body back into action. I can sit here and tell you right now, I'm 10 pounds down since starting in November. I'm at 209 and I'm feeling great. I'm now to the point now where even visually people are noticing. They see it in my face. They see it in my body, even just like clothed body. When I get home, and I get in the shower, like there is a pause in front of the mirror for a little bit. I'm checking my work, and I do a lot of checking of the work. I'm pretty happy where I've come. So now with this new bit of information that I've had, this new feeling, what has that done with my diet? I just got done doing a big episode, two-part episode with Okayest Cook on getting out of the drudgeries of being in the kitchen. And not to say that I'm going back on that. Absolutely not. Not going back on that talk at all. But what I have done is taken my normal meals, say my fast break or quote unquote breakfast, break fast. When I eat at noon, wild game has been a huge part of that. Having high quality lean protein for me to consume has been so nice. And to take what I love and passion for, being in the outdoors, chasing these animals, and then bringing them up, like what better piece of protein to carve me into the physical shape that I want than the one that I physically had to go chase after? The one that I then had to pursue, shoot, recover, butcher, and process to now be able to consume and reshape me. The wild game stock, the whitetail stock that I made, the bone broth, that has been a drink that I've had instead of another cup of coffee. I'm also toying with the mushroom coffee, the rise. That's actually been a really good thing. I enjoy that. I like the taste of it. People tell you it tastes like dirt. I like an earthy flavor anyway. But that's been something I've been adding in as well. But the broth, I've frozen into cubes half cup cubes, and it's more of a demi-glace. It's really condensed down. With that condensed down, I'll use the Keurig and shoot hot water down into it, into a cube that I've already kind of pre-thawed, and mix that around. And it's like soup in a cup, soup in my tumbler, but just the broth. I'll season it with salt. I'll season it with pepper. Chili powder has been really good add-in on that. But that's how I've dressed that up. And that's been a great hot drink, especially when it was super cold. That was good to have. I'm taking just cuts of that I would go either with steak. So like a lot of inside rounds I've just done up sous vide style, and or I've done the flat irons sous vide style, 110, put them in the night before, wake up, sear them up, slice them, throw them into a tin, or throw them into a one of my lunch containers, and then I can bring that to work. And now I've got basically Benny steak. Broccoli and cauliflower have been really good. I enjoy adding those in and just doing leafy greens along with that. The hard-boiled egg has also been a big part of that. A lot of protein. I still have my carbs. I haven't done a huge switch over of, you know, carb versus protein versus, you know, with that diet. I haven't done a whole lot of work with that, but I have noticed that if I'm going to eat something and I had to choose something, do I take a bowl of chips or do I have a cheese stick and some venison? If it's a snack I want, like, can I go with a piece of jerky or do I go with crackers? Like, you know, okay, let's go with the jerky. So I've been making what I think are some wise decisions. And by the end of the day, like if I overdo it a little bit at the dinner time hour, I at least start the fast in for the next day and get the reset. But just this process alone, like I've lost the 10 pounds without a lot of the pain and agony that I've gone in with diets in the past. It's not been all like sunshine and rainbows, but it's been a nice, easier path. And I think this time too, having more of a motivation being that I was beginning to see my health be affected. And I was seeing visually me, who I was affected me. That was a greater motivation that I've ever had to do some sort of weight loss thing. But here I sit on this path of I need to change what my diet looks like. Window of when I'm eating. I get my feeding window. Great. Now, what am I going to put into that feeding window? And that's where I'm now beginning to double down on that priority of wild game, I think, is going to be my, oh, what do I want to call it? My vessel that's going to help me through that. Protein that's locally acquired, protein that's lean and healthy, whether it's turkey from our turkey farm that I know how it's raised, or it's going to be venison that I acquired and procured myself. That is going to be the fuel that's going to power this body into what it's going to become. I did a podcast with Kevin Vistason, two, three years ago. This is when he began using more weights. He put a fundamental, importance on fitness. And the way he explained to me in that podcast too was, I want to be able to play ball with my kids. I want to be able to jump a fence. I want to be able to be moving. I want to be able to run without being tired. And that's, it stemmed all around his family. And the way he was putting that down, he's like, you know what? I might not be, you know, 5% body fat. I might not have the physique of an Olympian, but I'm going to be able to do everything I want to be able to do for a very long time. And that circled back around. That really did hit me, is that, you know, I've already been out west once. I would love to do that again, but I'm going to have to be in a shape that can do that. I'm wanting to take my boys on longer, greater adventures, and I want to be able to do that. But something's going to have to change in my physique. Something's going to have to change in my lifestyle. And wild game is going to be at the center hub of that. So, sorry, I don't have a recipe. I mean, what I've been throwing in the sous vide has been super basic, but at the same time, super delicious. It is oil and butter that goes in a bag with the piece of meat that's been salted, peppered, garlic, rosemary, seal it, throw it in the pot, 110 for as long as you'd like, and then cast iron that sucker on all sides. And there you go, you have it. Super basic, but at the same time, I literally could eat that every single day. So as much as I get through an episode wanting to take things to the next level, I'm also finding things that I can do on the everyday and be okay with garlic, rosemary, salt, and pepper. I could be okay with that, I think, for the rest of my life. But at the same time, that whitetail fueling the transformation of this body is ultimately what this is all about. So does this mean that Huntivore is going to be on this super huge health kick? Well, maybe for a little bit. Is that probably a topic that I need to then share more about? Absolutely. As I find out more, as I continue to learn more about balancing my diet, I won't have to focus on just good taste. I can also focus on the results on the backside. So I say this whole thing, I share this personal story, a little bit of a pat on my shoulder to say, yeah, I've done a really good job. But at the same time, by making some simple changes, and even if they happen just one at a time, I have felt way better. I can move way better. I'm a better dad. I'm a better coach. I'm a better teacher because of this. And if that means that I've got to share it on a podcast for someone to be inspired about it, perfect. Sweet. I hope you feel better. I hope you are a better version of you when you do this. So there's some information. There's some inspiration for you. So folks, to wrap this all up, we're ice fishing. We're out on the lakes. I know it's going to get warm here for a stretch, and I hope we can continue to get out on that frozen water and pull fish from the bottom, because, oh, is it a lot of fun. And to fry fish, it is so good. But if I'm going to consume that fried fish, it's going to be within an 8-hour window. It's going to be within my feeding window, and we're going to continue to be fasting elsewhere. But folks, if it's fish that we're filleting, or if it's rosemary, garlic that I'm slicing up to put in a bag, make sure that that blade that you are using is very sharp.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
USAA knows dynamic duos can save the day, like superheroes and sidekicks, or auto and home insurance. With USAA, you can bundle your auto and home and save up to 10%. Tap the banner to learn more and get a quote at usaa.com/bundle. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross-Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.